First Kings, chapter 4. Continuing along the theme of parable speakers, we're going to read about a grandfather of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also was a parable speaker. First Kings chapter 4, verse 29. First Kings 4:29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all the nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of birds, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Let me say one word about that funny word, that people that don't have no education, they talk about peoples. Well, if you're talking about us here, we are people. But if you have Frenchmen and Germans and Italians, we're talking about peoples, do you see? Each one is a people. And so a plurality is not when you're speaking about a few people like the ones that are here. Let me see, 2, 4, 6 of us. But when you speak of groups of people like Egypt and Syria and Babylon, they are peoples. And that is what it says there. So let's have a word of prayer now. Our Father, we thank you for each Lord's Day that comes round. Let us know, for some of us, ever so many have come round, and we are thankful that one day a Lord's Day is not going to come round to us on earth, but in heaven, because we're either going to be with thy Son, or thy Son is coming for us. We remember what it says concerning the remembrance of thy Son. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And so we are thankful, our Father, that today your Son has been remembered. We have shown his death for all who would see, for all who would hear. And we rejoice in it, our God, because our hearts also have been remembered. Thou dost know that some, and we're thinking of Dick, and now Phil Bomberger and Mrs. Detweiler, we think of some that altogether have died so close together, and they are with thy Son now in heaven. We are so glad of that. He went to prepare a place for them, and they went to be with him before he came to receive them to himself. So we are thankful for that which is our hope, our God, either for Christ to come for us, or if we do not live until he comes, then, our Father, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So we think of the Detweilers, and we think of the St. Johns and the Bombergers, and all of those who are experiencing sorrow at this time. Comfort their hearts, we pray. And our God, let us know that even now, certain motions are occurring, and we would pray that what little glimmer of hope that we have, it shall be carried out if it's thy will. But our Father, thou hast told us about praying for those in authority, and that is what we do. We pray for those in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and gravity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So, our Father, we pray. You who can raise up and put down, we pray that we might have one that will enable us to live peaceably and godly in this present evil world. So help us tonight, too, as we read the Scriptures and we think on them, our God, we pray that something of thy truth shall be a blessing to our hearts. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The reason my mind went back to this portion about Solomon is that I've been telling you in past weeks that when it speaks in the Bible of a parable, that the same word that is translated parable is elsewhere translated proverbs. So it is a certain kind of saying, and there were those in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament who were speakers of parables. I told you about Ezekiel, who spoke parables so frequently that the people designated him, why, he is a speaker of parables, and it upset Ezekiel. But one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, it seemed to thrill his heart. And of all things, here is Ezekiel complaining about being a speaker of parables, whereas the greatest king that ever sat upon the throne of Israel is one, and he spoke 3,000 parables or proverbs. And what I'll do in the will of God tonight is tell you about Solomon, the parable speaker, the speaker of proverbs, but then show you his relationship to the Lord Jesus, his grandson in the New Testament. You must understand this, that there is that direct relationship between David and our Savior, and he's called the Son of David. And if you look at the genealogies in the book of Matthew, it mentions so many generations between certain periods of time. And even though God has shown us that some of the links in all of these descendants of David have been left out, for instance, you have Joash, and then you have his descendants. You have Joab, but then there are some that are lesser known, and they are left out. But they also are included in the descendants, the progenitors of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you think back 28 or 40 or 50 or how many generations or before, you have the Lord Jesus Christ, great, 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 and I do not have enough time to go back to the how many great-grandfathers. And this is where our Lord Jesus inherited this innate ability. You must understand that. That there is the divine, and God willing, I'll tell you about that. But there is also the physical inheritance of certain abilities that are passed on to you from your ancestors. Now, I've told you this in time past, but you probably have forgotten it. On Solomon's mother's side, who was his grandfather? Ahithophel. And if you read concerning Ahithophel, it said that this man's counsel was as an oracle of God. He was one that was by David, and he was one that gave him counsel. And if an enemy were coming, and he wanted to know what military action to take, Ahithophel would give him his counsel, and it was the same as if he had gone and inquired as an oracle of God. As an oracle of God, he spoke that way. And he was Solomon's grandfather. And also, if you read all of the Psalms that David, his father, composed, you say, why, he was a brilliant man as well. Indeed, but he was not as brilliant as his son Solomon, but Solomon had this advantage, that the knowledge that Solomon had was more than all the knowledge that had been passed on to him and the wisdom that had been passed on to him in a physical sense. And I want you to see that. So turn back a chapter to chapter 3 in 1 Kings. Because this is a passage that shows us the excellency of character, the heart that was right when King Solomon was a child. Look at verse 4. 1 Kings 3, 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. Well, that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great loving kindness, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great loving kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this thy great people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there hath been none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Now, this is why Solomon had more wisdom than Ahithophel, his grandfather, and David, his father, because it says, when you prayed to me for these things, he says, I've given them to you, so that there hath not been anyone like you before, neither shall after thee arise any like unto thee, excepting one. And we know that was our Lord Jesus Christ. So here is Solomon, and this Solomon and his wisdom became manifest to all the peoples, and it so impressed the peoples that they wanted to come and hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now, let me explain to you a little bit about it in chapter 4, the way his wisdom is described. It says in verse 29 in chapter 4, And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Now, there are different kinds of wisdom, but the wisdom and the understanding that God gave Solomon was not one that would fill a man with conceit, but it was a wisdom to judge this thy so great people. That was the excellency of it. Now, I would like to have wisdom, because at times you're in the presence of those that are greatly educated, those that are supposed to be geniuses. But suppose God had given me the wisdom of Solomon. In their presence, I could laugh at them. And with all their wisdom, they could not be compared with my wisdom. But that is not the kind of wisdom that God gave Solomon, and that was not the reason that he gave Solomon that wisdom. The sad thing is this, that God has given some great intellect, but they take that intellect and they use it in a wrong way to bring into their lives the very things that Solomon did not ask for. Who could ever find such a man as this, one who is dedicated to serve God and to serve his people? If God would give us such a ruler that had divine wisdom, and a divine wisdom that would be used for the betterment of those people under him who believed in God, it would be a blessing from God indeed. But most of the time, if men have wisdom, it is a cunning kind of wisdom. It is a wisdom that takes care of themselves, but it is no great care upon their heart for the people that they rule. This is the thing that is so upsetting. When you read of all the politicians, and then suddenly you will read that one has practiced deception, one is immoral, they have lied, they have cheated, they have stolen, and all of these things are done not for the good of the people. The only reason that they want a position is not for the blessing of America, but they want that position for their own aggrandizement. And that is the sad thing. And then when they get there, some that perhaps wanted to serve God in this kind of position, I've heard that Jimmy Carter was a Christian, and he wanted to do a good job in Washington and live as a Christian, but he found out that nothing could work unless his life was filled with compromises. It was so disappointing. And so what happens is this. We say, well, I cannot get a thing done unless I make this compromise. And then what happens is the condition that America is in today. And so we could wish that God would raise up such a man. He's done it in the past. Would it not be a great thing if God would give us a ruler like Joseph? Joseph was over all Egypt. And even though you look at him and see things and you say, why, how could this be? We can't go into that now. But Joseph was a man who feared God. And he ruled in a righteous way, and he kept the nation of Israel from destruction, from starvation, and God blessed through him. And then it looked for a while as if Nebuchadnezzar was going to be a good king. But what happened was this. One day he was walking, looking over his kingdom, and he said, is not this great kingdom which I have made? And then the judgment of God fell. But at times we have good men. And when Solomon started out, two things are said concerning him. It says that God loved Solomon, and he gave him the name Jedidiah. And it says that Solomon loved the Lord. Right now, God so loved the world. God loves the world. So, God loves Solomon. But the world does not love God. But in this case, at the beginning, Solomon loved the Lord, and the Lord loved Solomon, and he gave him all of these benefits. And that is what is desirable. But what happens is this. His father, David, was an excellent ruler until Bathsheba came into his life. It's the same as I told you about Samson, until Delilah and other women came into his life. And it's like Achan, the good soldier in Israel, until he looked at a Babylonish garment and some gold, and then they were destroyed. But God is interested, if man must have a king, of giving him the king that he wants. And he said, I did not want Saul to be king. You wanted him to be king. He said, but I found David, a man after my heart. And so David has prayed to God to give him a son, and God has given him a son. And then this son prays to God that he might be a blessing to the children of Israel. And God says, the prayer that you prayed pleased me. I would hope that when we pray to God, our prayers are of such a nature that God is pleased. So often, when we have prayers that are offered, the prayers are displeasing to God. It says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And I remember a dear sister in Christ on one occasion. Someone had committed a sin against one of her loved ones, and she said this, don't pray for that man. Don't ask God to do anything for that man. And so I said, I can't pray that prayer before God. The Lord Jesus said that we are to pray for those that despitefully use us. No, I don't want that at all. And so suppose I'd gone and said, I agree with this woman. We want you to take vengeance. That wouldn't have been pleasing to God. But when Solomon went and prayed to God, it pleased God. And think of this now, that God can be pleased by the prayers of man. Isn't that remarkable? It means that when I go and pray to God, that I, his creature, can please him if I ask for the right things, for the right purposes. And that's the kind of prayer that Solomon prayed. And that is the prayer that God answered. And so look at what he gave to Solomon. Verse 4:29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is upon the seashore. And so this wisdom is a wisdom that is producive of morality, and this understanding is an understanding that gets solutions to problems for the betterment of the children of Israel. So it is not a wisdom and an understanding for carnal means, but what happens is this, that when God gave him that moral wisdom and that understanding for solving difficult problems that would be beneficial to man, when this happened, Solomon used that wisdom for length of days. And that wisdom that Solomon gave him, it extended not only to people, but look down at verse 32, because it speaks of wisdom and understanding exceeding much, but then it speaks of largeness of heart. That means capacity. That means expansiveness. It means that his wisdom included not only one area of knowledge, but the greatest variety of knowledge in all areas of life. And so look at them. When we start at verse 32, it says, he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And so here he is, and he excels in philosophy, he excels in music, and look down at verse 33, and he spake of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop, that springeth out of the wall. And he spake also of beasts, and of birds, and of creeping things, and of fishes. These are all the branches that would include the knowledge of man in Israel at that time. And so, you want to know about trees. Solomon could tell you all about trees. You want to know about beasts. He could tell you all about beasts, and birds, and fishes. And what is so interesting is that later on, he had a descendant named Azariah. And just as Solomon had an interest in all of these things, and he excelled in his wisdom in all of these things, it says that Azariah, one of his grandsons, it says he loved husbandry. And then if in the book of Ecclesiastes, you look at it, and let's turn there one moment. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. And we take it that this book was written by Solomon, because it says the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Many would contend that, but the simplest solution is what I've told you. So look in chapter 2, and what happens is this, that the wisdom that Solomon asked for at first, now let's see what happens. In verse 1, I said in my heart, come now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? And I searched in my heart how to cheer my flesh with wine, my heart yet guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what it was good for the sons of men that they should do under heaven all the days of their life. Notice, all of this is in an experiment. He is trying with his understanding to find out what is the best way for a man to live. And he did not do it theoretically. He went in and he practiced all of these things till he might see what was good for the sons of men that they should do under heaven all the days of their life. Now look at verse 4. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and parks. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made pools of water, the water of therefrom, the forest where trees were reared. I bought men servants and maid servants and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions and herds and flocks above all that were before me in Jerusalem. I gathered me also silver and gold and treasures. I got men singers, maid singers, musical instruments. He goes on and on and on. And then at the end, he said in verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had worked, and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. So here is a remarkable thing, and Solomon, who was trying to use his wisdom, he tried every imaginable way, and did you notice the trees and all of the other areas of the studies that were mentioned in 1 Kings 4:30, all the things that he excelled in? Think of the gardens. Think of all the trees that he had planted, how beautiful they would be. And he looked at them all, and he understood that apart from God, it was all vanity. And so when he came to the end of his life, he said, here is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. So here is a man that with all the wisdom that God gave him, he tried it in a good way, and then he tried it in a bad way, and he figured that the only thing for man to do after he had examined everything with the wisdom that God gave him, it was this. He said, fear God and keep his commandments. So the wisdom that he arrived at and the conclusions that he arrived at with what God divinely gave him, it's still good advice today. So think of this, and because of it, remember that it's not a bad thing when someone who created this earth has a man who specializes in trees, in birds, in beasts, in fishes. God wants man to go and understand about all of these things. And when a man, and I will mention this now in anticipation, here is a grandson of Solomon, the Lord Jesus. Here is the Savior, and he also speaks about trees, and he speaks about birds, and he speaks about flowers. But our Savior, when he considers those things, he makes a moral application. And with all the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the conclusions to which he comes are not conclusions of vanity and emptiness, but he sees something and he mentions it and he speaks about it as to the glory of God. He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And so the Lord, and I will give you that first point now, he looks at the flowers, he considers these things, and he understands that God made them. And in comparison to what God made, he said Solomon in all his glory was not like one of these. So what we have to do is this. With what wisdom God has given us, we are to use it for his glory, not for selfish reasons. And if he's given us this blessing in our youth, let us use it our whole life long, and then let us beware lest at the end of our lives we fall into sin because of this wisdom that we have that is able to outsmart and overcome and make preparations that will put people at disadvantages. But let us take all the gifts that God has given us and let us use them to his glory. Solomon, the wisest of all men, turned out to be the most foolish of all men, and God had to judge him. But Solomon had a son, and he's the one we shall consider in the will of God next Lord's Day. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your preachers on earth. We marvel when we see the wisdom of some of them, the great mathematicians, the great astronomers, the great theoreticians. We are thankful, our God, for all of these thoughts and this wisdom that you give to men of genius. And thou hast told us that Solomon had that capacity, and your Lord Jesus excelled even Solomon, or greater than Solomon is here. And we are thankful that with all of that wisdom that your Son has told us for our benefit, the way to heaven, the way to live. And so while thinking on Solomon, we think also of his son. And we are thankful that with these two wise men, that they have left behind guidances to get through life and receive one who failed and receive the other one who succeeded. So, Father, give us wisdom and let that wisdom and understanding be used for the glory of God and in our lives that we might glorify thee by our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.